so graciously, so gracefully, and hopefully so happily. Whoever organized this retreat, gave it the title, a Bhakti Immersion, Absorption in Bhakti. Krishna tells us in Gita, Yehi Sam. Krishna tells that according to our surrender, he reciprocates with us. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataya bhagacharya. This surrender is expressed on many levels. On one level, it's doing what we're told, acting according to Krishna's desire, and not doing those things that are displeasing to Krishna. And Krishna's will is coming down through the gurus, through the sadhus, and through the shastras. But the purpose of that is to bring us to the state where we are totally absorbed. Absorbed in remembering Krishna, in pleasing Krishna, in serving Krishna, with our body, our mind, and our souls. Within our tradition, there are examples, profound examples of such absorption. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who was in the role of a devotee while living in Jagannath Puri, he was so absorbed in remembering Krishna that everything he was seeing was reminding him of Krishna. Krishna tells us in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for that person I'm never lost nor are they ever lost to me. That's absorption. Totally absorbed. Everything is Krishna's property. In this material world, if a person is in love with a man or a woman, whatever it may be. Let us say a man is in love with a woman. He basically sees her everywhere. If he sees a flower, he thinks of getting that flower and giving it to his beloved. Yes? It's absorption. Similarly, when Krishna appears in the form of a deity, and as we're absorbed in deity worship, everything we see, we're thinking in terms of how to offer to Krishna. Yes? We see flowers, we think, oh, that will be so nice to offer to Radha Damodar. If we smell nice incense, oh, that will be so good to offer to Radha Damodar. Just like Madhavendra Puri, he went to Ramuna and he heard they make really nice sweet rice. So immediately he wasn't thinking, oh, I like sweet rice. He was thinking, this is the best sweet rice in the world. This is what I'm hearing. If I only learn the recipe, I can offer it to Gopal back at Govardhan, my worshipful deity. When you go into the shopping area, a pujari will not think of, oh, this will very look very nice on me. They're thinking, oh, this silk, would make such a nice dress for Srimati Radharani. This earring would look so nice on Gopinath. That's absorption. Seeing everything for the service of the Lord. And that absorption comes on two levels. Well, many levels. But one, it's the natural expression of love. That we see how we could please and how we could serve our beloved Krishna in every situation. And it is also by not just naturally absorb, by acting with absorption. Even though we may not be spontaneously feeling it, but by acting with that absorption, that's how we develop our love for Krishna. It's like a student may get absorbed in their studies. It's not that they're spontaneously in love with their studies, but it's a discipline. It's a discipline that I'm going to focus my mind and I am going to be absorbed. And that's how they really do well in their studies. So when we're chanting our japa, when we actually develop a higher taste, anandam buddhivardhanam, when we're tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name, then we're absolutely absorbed. Rupa Goswami gives that beautiful verse. He wrote it in Puri at Haridas Thakur's Bhajan Kutir Siddha Bakula on a palm leaf. When Lord Chaitanya saw that, he asked Haridas to read, Rupa Goswami to read it for all the devotees. And Thakur Haridas, the Namacharya, said in all the scriptures he has never heard any such outstanding description of Krishna's name. It's a verse about absorption. When the name of Krishna dances upon my tongue, this is how Rupa Goswami is saying. Krishna is not different than his name. That is Krishna in sound vibration. It's not just a vibration vibrating from the tongue. He's feeling that when I chant the name of Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue. And I desire many, many, many tongues to taste that holy name. When the name enters into my ears, so much satisfaction, so much ecstasy. I desire millions and millions and millions of ears. And when that name enters my heart, it conquers my mind, conquers my senses, conquers my entire existence. How many of us have that absorption when we chant the two syllables Krishna? That's what will happen for all of us. It's just a matter of time if we're sincere. That is Rupa Goswami's absorption. But when we're chanting japa, yato yato nischalati manas chanchanamastaram, the mind is flickering and wavering due to its unsteady nature. But absorption means absorption in sincerely trying to keep our mind fixed, to keep absorbed in Krishna's name. When we're chanting japa like a student who's trying to study, they really just put everything else aside and focus. And whenever there's some distraction, they just refocus and refocus and refocus. That's another type of absorption. And if we practice that way, Krishna actually reciprocates. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I will reciprocate accordingly. So if we're really earnestly, honestly, with determination, trying to absorb ourselves, that in itself is great absorption. And on whatever level we're on, we're all meant to really strive to absorb ourselves when we're chanting japa. Absorb ourselves when we're chanting kirtan. Absorb ourselves when we're hearing harikatha. It's on the basis of utilizing our free will to focus, to concentrate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his life and example, he taught us the nature of his absorption. When he saw the ocean in the moonlight at night, he was seeing the river Yamuna. And when nobody was looking, he ran into the river. The river in the form of an ocean and disappeared the whole night. Sometimes he was underwater, sometimes he was above water. He was not even in... He came out of the river finally, hours and hours later. A fisherman pulled him up with a net. And the devotees were looking everywhere and anywhere for him, but they couldn't find him. And finally they heard this fisherman screaming out, Hari, Hari. They said, what happened to you? He said, I was fishing at night and I caught a ghost in my net. And they said, what happened? He said, when I touched the ghost, he said, tears started pouring from my eyes and my hair started standing up and my limbs were trembling and all I could do was call out, Hari, Hari. And I'm a fisherman and I always fish at night, so I know there's ghosts. So I regularly chant my mantra to Lord Narasimha to protect me from ghost hauntings. And every time I chant the mantra to Narasimha, the ghosts disappear. But this ghost is very powerful, because every time I chanted Narasimha's name, this ghost doubled and tripled his energies of influence on me. And he started just crying out, Hari, 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 Hari. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, we are looking for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's been gone all night. We think you must have him in your net. And the fisherman said, no, I know Lord Gauranga. I have seen him so many times. This is not him. You can't even look at this person. He has dislocated limbs and he's just white and shriveled. And said, that's what our Lord does when he goes in ecstasy. He said, no, you can't hear. Hari, Hari, Hari. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, I'm an exorcist. He said, I will. And then he slapped the person on the face a few times and chanted some mantras. He said, now you are better. Now take us to... And there was Lord Chaitanya laying there in the sand. And they chanted the holy names very loudly in his ears and he came to consciousness. He said, why have you taken me here? I was in the river Yamuna in Vrindavan, and the gopis were with Shamsundar Krishna. And they were in the Yamuna, and there were hundreds of beautiful, fully blown lotus flowers. And they were playing beautiful splashing games, hiding behind the lotus flowers and playing with each other. And I was watching all of this. And then all of a sudden this loud, loud noise came and you brought me here. Why did you take me here? That's Mahaprabhu's absorption. In his inner heart, he was experiencing Krishna's most beautiful pastimes. And it was invoked just by seeing an ocean, which reminded him of the Yamuna. And another time he was walking with a few of his devotees and he saw a simple sand dune called Chatak Parvat. And he saw Govardhan Hill. He started running with the speed of the wind. He was running and running toward Govardhan. And all these devotees were trying to catch. They couldn't keep up with him. He was seeing Govardhan. He was telling the devotees what he experiences when he tastes prasad. The smell of prasad, the taste of prasad, the sight of prasad, the touch of prasad. It's Krishna's mercy. It's the sweetness of Krishna, of Krishna's love, of Krishna's grace, fully manifested in this food. That's his experience of taking prasad, absorption. But he taught us through his devotees too. One time Lord Chaitanya was having darshan of Jagannath. He was standing beside Garuda Stamba. And as he was standing in front of him, between him and Jagannath, were hundreds and hundreds of people having darshan. It was very crowded. And there was this simple, uneducated lady from Orisha. He was so eager to see Jagannath. She was very old, very poor, very simple. And she actually crawled up Lord Chaitanya's body. She actually climbed on top of him. And she had one foot on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder after she climbed all the way up. And she had the other foot on the Garuda Stamba, and she was holding on to Garuda, and she was standing on Lord Chaitanya and looking at Jagannath. Now, Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi. And in India, in those days, it was taken very seriously, proper etiquette. These days, nobody... It's kind of the opposite, actually. And he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Garuda is the Lord's eternal associate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's assistant, Govinda, he said to this lady, respectfully but very urgently, he said, you know, you're standing on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and your foot's on Garuda. Immediately, what am I doing? And she climbed down, and she bowed down, and she was apologizing. Because she didn't know what she was doing. She was so enthusiastic. Lord Chaitanya, he chastised Govinda, his servant. He said, why did you disturb this girl, this lady's meditation? She was seeing Jagannath with such eagerness. She didn't even know she was standing on top of me. She didn't even know I existed. That's how she was absorbed in Jagannath. Why did you disturb her ecstatic love? He called Govinda an uncivilized man. Now, coming from Lord Chaitanya, that's serious. By this definition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking, to be civilized is to actually honor a person's devotion, to appreciate and respect a person's devotion. To not be able to do that is uncivilized. And then Lord Chaitanya turned to Jagannath and prayed. He said, oh Lord Jagannath, please, I pray to you, give me even a drop of the eagerness of this old lady to see you. She is so eager that the whole external world became irrelevant to her. That was her eagerness to see Jagannath. And then he prayed to the old lady, please bless me with your type of eagerness to see Jagannath Krishna. That's how the Lord appreciated a person's genuine absorption. If she was conscious that this was a sannyasi and the Supreme Lord, it would have been an aparadh, an offense. But her absorption and her eagerness to see the Lord and to serve the Lord was so great that she was transcendental to these rules and regulations. So Srila Prabhupada, he created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give all of us an opportunity to 24 hours a day be absorbed in Krishna. Absorbed. Samadhi. Patanjali Yogi explained, great Rishi, Samadhi Siddhir Ishwara Pranidhana. Samadhi Siddhir means the perfection of Samadhi is Ishwara Pranidhana, which means surrendering ourselves to the Supreme Lord. Samadhi means such a total absorption. In bhakti, our absorption is in serving the Lord, in pleasing the Lord, in remembering the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be absorbed in everything we do, in a favorable way for the pleasure of Krishna. That is bhakti yoga, absorption. It's not just a matter of ritualistically doing this and that. That is the form, but that's not really the yoga. On our level, which may not be spontaneous love, absorption as a discipline, absorption as a sincere expression of our desire, is actually the means by which we attain that love, that spontaneous perfection. I'll give another example. Narottam Das Thakur was a very dear associate, a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, a student of Srila Jiva Goswami. Once he was meditating on the holy name of Krishna in service to Krishna. And suddenly in his meditation, internally, he was in Vrindavan. And he was in the body of a gopi. And Champak Lata Saki, one of Srimati Radharani's 8 dearmost friends and associates, she asked Narottam in his little gopi body, as a manjari, to help make kheer or sweet rice for Srimati Radharani to offer Krishna. So they were cooking the sweet rice and it started boiling over. And Narottam, the little gopi, he saw that this big pot was boiling over. Or she saw. And she was so absorbed in this meditation, she was there. Without putting anything on her hands, she picked up the pot, the burning pot, with her bare hands and lifted it off the fire. And in the process, her hands got severely burned. And it hurt so much that it broke the meditation. And Narottam Das Thakur is sitting in Radha Damodar temple, and he comes out of the meditation And he looked at his hands.
In this world,
his actual physical hands were burnt. No, he didn't go around telling everybody, just look at my burns. He tried to hide it because he was afraid devotees would ask what happened, and he didn't want to tell. Because devotees, when there's some special experience they have with the Lord, they like to keep it very secret, very private. It's something very intimate. It's not something to advertise, I'm absorbed. I'm very great. Devotees like to advertise themselves as very fallen, with no love for Krishna, and like that's the way they speak about themselves. And these ecstasies are kept very, very confidential. So he kind of was hiding his hands for a while. And Jiva Goswami said, why are you hiding your hands? I see your hands are burnt. And Jiva Goswami said, that's because you picked up the pot of sweet rice and it burned your hands. That is how absorbed Jiva Goswami was. He was actually watching it all happen. So don't try to imitate that, please. Because it would be hypocrisy. But we try to absorb ourselves in whatever we are doing. And Srila Prabhupada explained, one way to absorb ourselves in devotional service is whatever service we have, to take serious responsibility. If we just do what we want, when we like, how we like, if we like, there's a little absorption in that, but it doesn't go very deep. But when we actually take responsibility, just like if a mother is responsible for her child, there's a lot of absorption. If the mother is not a very responsible mother, there's not much absorption at all. And responsibility fixes our mind. And when we take responsibility for service, like a pujari, there may be in some temples 6 offerings and 6 aartis a day. Yes? And if the pujari is supposed to do every one of those and taking responsibility, it's going to be on time, it's going to be done, and I'm going to be clean with a full bath before each one, and I'm going to chant the mantras and the tantras and the yantras, and I'm going to do the pujas, and I'm going to perform the mudras, and I'm going to do all these things properly, and I'm taking responsibility on behalf of my guru, on behalf of the whole temple, on behalf of all the devotees for the pleasure of Krishna. If I don't feed Krishna on time, he's going to be hungry. If I don't put a nice blanket on his bed at night, he's going to be cold. When we actually take responsibility, really, we become totally absorbed in a personal relationship with Krishna. Even today, any one of us, if we really take that responsibility seriously, we become absorbed. If we take responsibility for the cows, if we have some responsibility we take for Prabhupada's mission in the temples that are maybe close to us, that responsibility is actually the doors opening for the opportunity to really become absorbed. And that's why initiation is important. Because the whole idea is to be absorbed. And when the mind is whimsical, and when our lifestyle is whimsical, we're absorbed in so many things. And we're not really absorbed in anything much. Why is it that they at the time of initiation, Srila Prabhupada asks us to take a vow to chant these rounds, or a vow to live by this character. Because when we take such a vow, we feel the weight of a responsibility. And with the weight of that responsibility, we take it very seriously. It's not only our responsibility to do the service, but it's our responsibility to do it with the attitude and the consciousness that will please Krishna. And a second feature that Srila Prabhupada recommended after responsibility was enthusiasm. That we're enthusiastic to chant. We're enthusiastic to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class. We're enthusiastic to read Prabhupada's books. We're enthusiastic to come to Gita Nagari. We're enthusiastic to do some seva. We're enthusiastic to see the deities. That enthusiasm is actually an expression of our desire to love. And as we're enthusiastic, we're absorbed. I remember Srila Prabhupada, I was present once when he was giving a lecture about how important it is to be enthusiastic. That's our surrender. And somebody said, what if I have no enthusiasm? Srila Prabhupada said, then you are an animal. I thought that was an interesting answer. In other words, and then Srila Prabhupada said, if you don't feel enthusiastic, you act enthusiastic. That's what human life is for. Tapo divyam putraka yena satvam. Human life is meant for tapasya, for austerity. And the austerity is I don't feel enthusiastic, but I act enthusiastic because it's for Krishna. And somebody says, well, isn't that artificial, fake, hypocrisy? If you're acting enthusiastic so that everybody glorifies you as being enthusiastic and becomes eager to touch your lotus feet, then yes, that's fake. That's artificial. But if we have no enthusiasm in our feeling, but we act enthusiastic because it's pleasing to Guru and the Vaishnavas and Krishna, that's not artificial, that's not fake. That's a genuine expression of our sincerity. Just like if you go to, where do we go? An airplane. The airline hostesses or hosts, whatever they may be, they're supposed to enthusiastically say, welcome, we're so happy you're here. And then they give you all this stuff, you know. Today they don't do much of anything. They used to be there. But if you go to them and they just, you know, you look at them and they say, oh, hello, good morning, how are you? They say, it's a miserable morning. I'm sick of seeing people like you. Sometimes they do that, actually. And then, you go to the report to their superior. This is what she said to me. And they say, well, I'm just being honest. I'm not artificial. I am sick of seeing these people. But their responsibility is, even if you are, you have to tell them that you're happy to see them. So they're doing it for money. Enthusiasm or no enthusiasm, we act enthusiastic because that's what will please Krishna. If a baby's crying at night, the mother doesn't say, well, I don't feel like getting up for you. The mother will act enthusiastic, yes? Because she cares. So So whether we're coming for the worshiping the deities or kirtan or Bhagavatam or Gita class or whether our japa or whatever service we have, or even in just coming to be in the association of devotees, if we're enthusiastic and we take it as our responsibility to have this enthusiasm, we actually become absorbed. And another element of this absorption is an appreciation. If we appreciate other people's devotion, if we appreciate other people's efforts in devotion, that is a profound way of being absorbed in devotional service. If we're just too callous and too busy to really take the time to even care what anybody else is doing, or if we're so hung up in our own mundane mental problems that we just, you know, who cares what you've done? There can be no real absorption. But if we really are enthusiastic to appreciate other people's bhakti, that is a way, a necessary way of absorption. So taking responsibility, being enthusiastic, whether we feel it or like it or not, because that's what pleases Krishna and Guru and the Vaishnavas in whatever we do, and actually really appreciating others. In this sense, in every situation, we could be absorbed in Krishna. It's just a question of whether we choose to be so or not. And that's how we make spiritual advancement. Moment or after moment, making the choice to be absorbed in the right thing. And Srila Prabhupada gave us so many wonderful ways to serve and to be absorbed. It's not that we have to do great, great things. Because in Krishna's heart, greatness is in the absorption of our devotion to please. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, what were they doing? They were writing the most incredible books, Rupa and Sanatana. But their ultimate aspiration were the gopis of Vrindavan. And what were the gopis doing? They were making garlands. They were picking flowers. Picking flowers, making garlands, sometimes cooking. Gurbani Prabhu sings a beautiful song. Jivevi Vaspamita Matadeva Govinda Damodara Matadeji. Whatever the gopis are doing, it doesn't talk about them ruling kingdoms, doesn't talk them about building temples, doesn't talk about them giving katas to 10,000 people. It says when they're churning butter, they're chanting Govinda Damodara Madhavati. When they're collecting flowers, their tongue, they're praying to their tongue, please taste the nectar of Krishna in his holy names. In whatever they're doing. Simple services. But love means absorption. The natural expression of love, true love, is a total absorption in pleasing the object of our love. And the process by which we awaken that natural love that's within us is as an austerity, to take responsibility, be enthusiastic, and absorb ourselves in pleasing our beloved, in whatever state. Srila Haridas Thakur, he was so absorbed in chanting Krishna's names that even when he was being beaten with whips and sticks by massive executioners through 22 marketplaces, they were beating him, beating him, beating him. He was absorbed in chanting Krishna's names. Param drispani vartate. He was so absorbed, he was feeling the beating like any of the rest of us, but it was just kind of, it was just like a detail, because his mind was so absorbed in the taste of Krishna's name. That is Haridas Thakur's absorption. Even when Maya Devi herself came in the form of the most beautiful woman in all of creation, in the middle of the night in a forest to distract Haridas, and made all lovely. Can you imagine Maya's voice if she speaks to you with her full potencies? What to speak of her fragrance and her everything. She gave everything she had. And she said, Haridas, let us enjoy. And Haridas says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. She said, oh, it's the middle of the night, no one's around, it's just the two of us. It's the will of destiny that we are to enjoy together. And Haridas, he just said, I haven't finished my rounds yet. When I finish, I will satisfy all your desires. Just sit and wait. And for the next 6 hours, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The sun rose. He said, I didn't finish my rounds today, but come back tomorrow, I'll finish. She came back the next day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was absorbed. And after 3 days, he said, I finished my rounds. And she said, I surrender to you. I'm Maya Devi. I'm Maya Devi. I keep the entire creation in total illusion, and I could not distract you even for a moment. So please initiate me. I want what you have. And he initiated her. Can you imagine initiating Maya? That's how much she honored and respected his absorption. Now, you can't imitate. But Mahajano Yena Katasapanta. The path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. We cannot imitate Haridas, but we can follow in his footsteps, and that means to really, according to our capacity, to try to absorb ourselves in our devotional service, especially chanting the holy names and living in a proper spirit of service toward other devotees. Studying Prabhupada's books, absorbing ourselves. Brajabihari Prabhu, that whole presentation that he gave for 2 days was about absorption. If we want to choose by our own free will to never attain pure devotional service, then it's very easy. All we have to do is say, I'm not on that platform, so what's the use of trying? The way we come to that is whatever platform we're on, we try. And that means we take responsibility. And that means whatever we do it with enthusiasm. If you don't put enthusiasm into what you're doing, it's going to feel very mundane. As Krishna responds, according to our devotion. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to think Krishna's metal or stone, he will remain metal or stone to you forever. But if whatever stage we're on, if with faith we believe, yes, Krishna has appeared. He tells us in the scripture. He tells us through Prabhupada and the Acharyas, Sanatan, Rupa, Lord Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Madhva, all these great souls, they're worshiping the deities. They're telling us Krishna's there. So I may not feel it, but I believe it. And therefore, I'm going to serve with that faith. And I'm going to do it with enthusiasm. And we will experience Krishna. Because Krishna will reciprocate with the earnestness and sincerity of our desire. When we have that absorption that we're speaking about, then we taste bhakti. Even today. Not something that happens after 50 years or in another lifetime. Even today, if we absorb ourselves, we will taste bhakti. But if we don't, even if we go on in a careless way for decades and decades and decades, we will not taste bhakti. We'll just get attached to the rituals. Either we'll give up the process because we don't feel anything, or we'll just get so attached to the external designations and the external rituals, and we'll become just like attached to the rules and the letters and completely forget the essence. And we become dry, hard-hearted, arrogant, egoistic about being great devotees. That means we're not absorbed. That means we're just doing it for the wrong reason. And that happens. And that can happen to anyone at any time. It's not just by joining a movement, even a great, great movement, that we attain that inner perfection. By joining ISKCON, Prabhupada's movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, the doors are open. But we have to do it properly. We have to humble ourselves. We have to have a service attitude. We have to seriously try to absorb ourselves with responsibility, with enthusiasm, with appreciation. And in this way, we will not just be singing or reciting Krishna's names. We will actually be connecting with Krishna in his name. Not just mentally, but on the spiritual level. So absorption in bhakti is our foremost responsibility as devotees, to really absorb ourselves. And many people have to do their work, whether it's housework or whether you're in business, or these days almost every other person I meet is some sort of a computer engineer or software engineer or technology of this, whatever it may be. Our sadhana is to absorb ourselves, to infuse our consciousness, and then when we go out, whatever we do, we're infused. Either you infuse yourself, or you will refuse yourself. I hope I'm not confusing. Do not abuse anyone. It's very simple. But if we infuse ourselves through satsang, through sadachar, good character, through sadhana, then wherever we go, we can actually, you know, we're absorbed. Our batteries are charged. And we'll be trying to remember Krishna to whatever capacity. And even if we're working, we're thinking, you know, whatever comes from this, whether it be money or facilities, I'm going to use that to raise my family in bhakti. I'm going to use that to serve Krishna. I'm going to use that to assist the Vaishnavas. If our intent is service to Krishna, then our work itself is absorption in devotional service.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada gave an example. If somebody takes your head and puts it underwater in a river and holds it there, yes? For like a minute, and you can't breathe, and he's not letting your head go up, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about getting some air?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking about what your sister-in-law said about you 2 weeks ago? Or your mother-in-law? These things are really irrelevant. All that merely matters is if I get that air. This is like an immersion. You're immersed in the water. So Krishna consciousness, we want to immerse ourselves in what's really important. And that happens by our conscious choices. I am going to immerse myself in chanting the holy names. Whatever my mind says, whatever the television says, whatever the hoardings on the billboards say, whatever my mother-in-law says, I am going to absorb myself in the holy names. And when we make that decision and take that responsibility and enthusiastic, we are absorbed. And that's when we find Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kapamaya Sravanadi Subhichiti Kodi Naitudai. Lord Chaitanya taught us that love for Krishna is within the heart of every living being. Don't be distracted by all these superficial, external, insignificant things that Maya is putting before us. Absorb yourself in chanting the holy names in the association of devotees. And if Krishna sees that we are sincere, then by his grace, he reveals himself. And that love naturally is awakened. Thank you very much.